Very pleased to be joined by Mets President of Baseball Operations, David Stearns. David, thanks for coming on. Obviously, things have not been going well in a lot of areas for this team right now. What is the thing that concerns you the most?
I think as we look at our team, we've had periods of this season where we've played pretty good, complete baseball, and clearly that has not been the case over the last 10 days. And so whenever you go through a stretch like that, it's generally not one particular point part of your team. And in our case, we've had really lapses from each segment of our team over the course of the past 10 days or so. And we've also had periods over those 10 days where each segment has played well. We just haven't been able to line it up in the same game. So we've had some pretty good pitching performances where we haven't hit. We've had days where I think we've swung the bat pretty well and taken consistently competitive ABs where we haven't pitched well enough. And as has been true, I think, throughout various parts of the season, we've probably had a few too many defensive lapses, and that compounds the whole thing and can lead to the type of baseball we've played. But I think we also feel like we've got talent on this team. We've got a group of veteran players that is committed to fight through adversity, and we're going to give them a chance to do that.
You know, I just said this before we came on. This is not like last year where this team collapsed in June. This is May, and you have to, I would assume, approach things very differently in May than you would if a similar situation presented itself a month or two later.
Well, I think right now we don't have to make any decisions about this team right now. We're in mid-May, getting to be late May. We've got another couple of months before we really have to make concrete directional decisions about how this season's going to shape out. And so we're still in information gathering mode. And like I said, we've had periods where we think we've played pretty well. And clearly, of late, we haven't. And we are going to have to play better. We know that. Certainly our players know that. We are going to have to play better to have the type of season that we expect to have.
David, thanks for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. David Stearns joining us in the booth.
All right, we're back, and you heard from David Stearns in the booth with Gary, Keith, and Rod. And look, Stearns didn't give you much more than what he's been giving you or what you could assess on your own. The mind-boggling way that the team has inconsistently had every component of its roster fall apart while others have excelled. And he's right. You know, here it is. You've got another 6, 7, 8 weeks to assess the team before you have to do anything. Very rare that you start. Now, I know the Marlins ripped their team apart a couple of weeks back with Arias, but I think that the Mets aren't about to do that. But look, we talked in the first segment about the upcoming schedule. It's really their last stand, not only in this homestand, but then they go to play the Nats. They play the Marlins. You know, they have some very winnable games. I know they have the Phillies in the middle of all that in London, not too far away. So, you know, that's a whole other thing. In a couple of weeks, they'll be in London and play the Phillies. And look, there'll be a couple exciting things coming up. You have the Strawberry number retirement. We'll get into that. You have the London series in a couple of weeks. We'll get to that. And, you know, honestly, there is still some baseball to get excited about. But I think it's really important, depending about how, because we already know what this team is. And we kind of know it's a maddening team. Like, if you really want to talk about, well, the getting to know you phase being over, it's a team that is exactly as we set it out and thought about it at the beginning of the year. The starters can get you into six with a solid quality start. They have a pretty good bridge to Diaz. Diaz is inconsistent, lacks confidence, and bad. And the offense is way inconsistent because of the core players. The issue with getting to know this team is that we know now that the component players are producing. We do not know what to expect night in and night out from the core players that were part of that 2022 101 win team. We don't. And I don't think you're going to ever get to know them the rest of the year. You know what they're capable of. You know what the back of the baseball card says, and you go to the baseball reference page, but you just don't know. And right now, anybody who sits there and says they're going to be okay because logic says they're going to play to the back of their baseball card, I'm not so sure I'm ready to say that. Whether it be because this has swallowed them up, they're having a bad year, they're declining, you know, there's a whole other thing we could get into down the road is what the hell happens at Citi Field that depresses offense so much. Is there an Indian burial ground there? Is it the way it's positioned with the atmosphere? Is it the enclosure? You know, is it the background? I have no idea. You know, they've brought the only thing left to do is bring the outfield fences in like a wiffle ball field to get some hits out there, which they're not going to do that. So, you know, going forward, the messaging has to be better. So you go to Cohen. Cohen responds to some tweet and deletes it about there's nothing we can do to the All-Star break to get better or the trade deadline to get better. He's right. Everybody took it as, you know, he's ready to, blow it up and rebuild. And, you know, I don't know if he'll ever admit to that, because if he's willing to float a $300 million payroll, even if it's slightly below the luxury tax, there's always short-term deals with free agents that can bridge the gap. Because I think you need a 24-month period to really bring this all together. I don't think that that's far off. I don't think this is a five-year rebuild. You're starting to see names, like I said, Scott and Buto and Sproat and Tidwell and Hamill and Nolan McLean and Jonah Tong. I mean, there is some good pitching bones here, and you can still try to keep some of the guys on the big league roster. You know, who are your transitional Dylan G's and John Neese's that are solid pitchers that you could keep around here that might be able to help you a little bit when you're really serious about pushing this playoff situation into big boy status, not trying to be the best of the worst with the third wild card in a watered down, balanced maybe year for the wild card. And, you know, you even saw some frustration from Cohen this weekend about how he writes, "What a stretch, mind-boggling. I know how disheartening this is for our fans. Thank you for caring so much." I mean, Cohen understands your fandom. Cohen understands how much you put into this. And Cohen is reading the tweets and sees how there are people who are saying, and I've seen it more than one on social media, "This is now getting bad for my mental health. I can't take the up and down. I can't take the disappointment." And I think the fan base, and maybe that's where the negativity and the booing and this toxicity comes from, not just because of media and social media and some, both national media and local influencers who use Mets losing as a brand to make money, to hurt you, which I've always had an issue with that. He sees all this. And he knows it's bad, and he knows it's bad for business, and he knows it's not what he signed up for and what he wants it to be long term. So, you know, here he is since the minute, and it goes back to when he took over. He's like, "Look, I'm not going to let these guys go through an arduous rebuild and be made fun of for 5 years with the hope of a future that sometimes doesn't come." I mean, look at the Seattle Mariners. It took them 20 years to make the postseason again. The honest truth here, and this goes back four generations of Mets fans, before I even was a Mets fan, you really haven't had an honest rebuild with a plan and an honest conversation about that plan. An honest conversation is part of it in 40 years since Frank Cashin took over. Think about it right now. Let's be honest with each other. Frank Cashin took over when Doubleday Wilpon came in, and they were like, "Hey, this is a bad team. This is a bad situation. We're going to rebuild." Gooden came, Strawberry came, Darling came, Hernandez, Carter. You know the rest is history. After the worst team money can buy, the strike hit, I think that was the overarching story in the game. They did have some young pitchers, Pulsifer, Isringhausen, and Wilson, that quickly became the story, which... they brought in some guys. They brought in Tony Fernandez and Lance Johnson and Bernard Gilkey. They weren't completely punting. They weren't trying to lose it. You don't have to lose. I don't think it makes sense just to say, "Look, we're not going to put a good product on the field at all and just be bad to get the number one pick. We're not trying to tank here like the Philadelphia 76ers. It doesn't even work with the lottery system. And a number one pick, even a generational player, I mean, who knows if they work out in baseball? It's not like the NBA. It's not like the NFL. Okay, so they didn't do that in the 90s. Then Bobby Valentine comes in and Piazza, and you know what happened there. And then when Piazza was on the decline and you hit 03, 04 with the Art Howe years, right away, you know, they tried to actually make the wild card in 04. That was the infamous Scott Kazmir trade. And then Omar comes in and says, look, I could recruit and bring in talent. And then you had Pedro, Carlos, and Omar, Delgado, you know, Wright, Reyes, breathe life into this team. And then you had that mini run. And then Madoff happens. And that's where I think a lot of the mistakes to this day have happened. Because as you were building up those young pitchers, you know, you kept Wright and Reyes around. You lost Reyes to free agency. Wright, you signed a long-term deal that turned out to be a mistake. You went into, like, pause mode. Like, you stayed in place. There was some good bones on those 2011-2012 team rosters. You just didn't invest in them because you didn't have the money. So there was always that, well, you know, they're not that bad. They're 500. If there was a third wild card back then, you know, things might be a little bit different. And then, of course, 2015 happens. And ever since 2015, you've been chasing that feeling and say, okay, you got the pitchers. You can't rebuild with all these pitchers. It's a shame. You can't. And then, you know, the COVID hits and Cohen comes in. Well, Cohen's in. You can't rebuild. Let's reinvest. You still have DeGrom. You still have, you know. And it's always been a reason not to take an honest step back. And look, there's a ton. If they come out in 2 months and they start trading Alonso and J.D. Martinez and a lot of the starting pitchers, and who knows, maybe I doubt they could trade Diaz. I mean, he's got, if you look at the contract, he's got some no trade. He's got player options. It's a contract that's expensive. And right now, there's not a team in the league that's going to pay $18 million. It was going to be a limited market that was going to pay him the contract the Mets gave him when he was the best closer in the game and a free agent. So you'd have to eat money. And I don't think Cohen should have to eat money. That's why Lindor's probably not going anywhere. Diaz is not going anywhere. And to a lesser degree, Nimmo. But I think you could trade Nimmo. That's a reasonable contract if you wanted to, depending on what you would get. And look, that hurts me to say because I think Nimmo's a guy that should be here long term. Maybe he's captain. You know, maybe he's a guy I know that'll be a good face of the team while they go through some tough times, and it would be great to see him, like Wright, be there when it gets good again. You know, Wright was there when it was good, Wright was there when it was bad, Wright was on the way out when it got good again. But once you do that and you rip these guys apart, you have to have an honest conversation about the next 12 to 24 months. You can't just say, hey, we fully intend to be a contender next year. Because even if you want to go out and augment the roster while the farm is developing with a Corbin Burns or an Alex Bregman and another, you know, cast of component players, there's no guarantee until they prove it that that's going to be any better than what you see now. And as you start to bring up the kids on pitching, the depth is going to thin out and you might not even have the depth because you've got some good pitching depth this year. This is a shame what's going on. And really, the only thing you should commit to post July 31st, or whenever the freaking deadline is, it changes every year, is you have Alvarez, you have Beatty, you have Vientos. That's it. Everybody else should be McNeil. Everybody else should be for sale, for the right price, for a smart price. And no, it is not a situation where I'd advocate what happened last year with Verlander and Scherzer, where you pay money to get prospects. Different situation. Different players at different arcs in their career. You know, quite honestly, you don't have to trade Lindor. You don't have to trade Diaz. You don't have to trade Nimmo. You know, if somebody wants them and they really want them and they want to pay the freight and give you prospects, this BS, oh, well, I can't give you prospects. You know, good, then go find somebody else. With Scherzer and Verlander, I mean, the Mets probably knew Scherzer was a ticking time bomb. It didn't take a high level of logic to know that. I mean, just the aches and pains were all warning signs. It was something we talked about when they signed him. I don't want them to tank. That's not what I'm saying. I want them to come out, because this is where I think this is going to be. I think this is going to be the conversation that will happen. Guys, it didn't work out for whatever the reasons you want to say, but here's what we're going to do. We want this to be right. We want this to be sustainable. It's going to be rocky for the next couple of years. We feel we have some good processes and infrastructure and players in place that are really going to be part of the next wave of good times. The pitching is probably ahead of the hitting because you don't know what Jet Williams is. You know, their number one pick, Colin Hulk, is playing horribly. Drew Gilbert's been hurt. Acuna's starting to heat up, but I don't know if he's an impact player. He might be more of a peripheral, like a McNeil component player type of deal. And, you know, the next 24 months, we're going to try to augment the big league roster with some short-term deals, responsible deals. If a big free agent comes, I'm like, look, if you want to go out after you trade Alonso and, you know, sign Soto to be the hub of the next-gen Mets, I mean, look, once you start to say, hey, we're ripping this thing apart, it's going to be hard to recruit a Corbin Burns or a Soto to this place. I mean, money's money, but somebody else might have money. I mean, maybe the Dodgers, after all their spending, might be out of the mix, so that puts the Mets in a better advantage, a better situation. And you can't look, with the way the three wild card situation is, I think you want to take Nimmo and Lindor and Diaz off the table, push them aside, say, look, they're going to get this thing figured out, if not this year, in the length of their contract, and just say you're going to trade Alonso, you're going to trade McNeil, you're going to trade the short-term starting pitching guys like the Quintanas that are free agents anyway, Severino, Manaea, who you could always go out and re-sign them or versions of them. I mean, that, you know, I don't know what that's going to yield, but look, Mets may have got a top 100 prospect for Tommy Pham and Jeremy Rodriguez. You don't know. You don't, I mean, in this day and age of pitching being such a commodity, you just don't know what a guy like Severino. Severino can get you a lot on the market. I mean, if you're a contender short a pitcher, why wouldn't you pay for Severino right now? Unless you think the only elixir for him is the Mets, which I think the Mets might have figured some things out, but I don't think he's going to all of a sudden turn to a pumpkin when he leaves New York. I'm not expecting a tank. What I just want them to say is, look, I can't promise you contention. Our goal is to try to do some nice things at the big league club the next couple of years. But I don't know if it's going to happen because our main focus is making sure we protect our farm system, we develop our prospects, we responsibly push them to the big league level, and that may not align with what the winning schedule is with the big league club. Stop with the schedules. Well, we'll be on pace to win in 2026 or 2027. I hate that. There is no schedule in sports. It never happens that way. It never happens that way. Because Cohen's goal of winning now and building a farm system, he realized that the farm system wasn't as ready to produce even component-driven players as the big league club. It's a shame because 2 years ago, a lot of the component-driven players you see now could have been very helpful on the 2022 team. You wouldn't have to maybe go out and get a Vogel back or a Ruff or even, you know, worry about bullpen help. You have some, but that farm system wasn't ready. Those guys weren't available. You didn't have Stearns there with his philosophies on team building. I think we're very close to that. We're very close to that kind of situation, and I think that's where the honest conversation has to be. Cohen and Stearns have to understand, even if your intent is to compete in the process of seeing how much this farm system can develop, before you splurge on a Alex Bregman or a Corbin Burns. You know, I'm not in favor of them just going out and signing somebody to shut people up during the offseason so WFAN doesn't scream and yell. I'm not in favor of them signing someone to a long-term deal just so that the fans have this false belief in November or December that this year is going to be different. Just be honest. We're going to sign the right guys to the right contracts. We're going to focus on the farm. The players that we just traded, we're going to get the best deal possible. You know, I don't know if they could get a Mark Teixeira-type organization-changing deal like the Rangers got when they traded Teixeira to the Braves, but they should try for Alonso. They should try it with Alonso. I don't know if McNeil could get you anything. You know, I think the pitchers can get you something. I'm not saying they're going to get you, you know, Gunnar Henderson, but they might get you something. You know, and if Diaz starts to really pitch well and see, you know, show himself, I would definitely dangle him. This is a guy who's been one of the biggest Diaz fans since the day he came. Since the day he stepped foot into this organization. But I just don't see how a guy like Diaz can make this 180 again. I don't think you could trade him. I think, look, just like Lindor, you're married to Diaz just for a longer time. There's no trade clauses. Lindor has no trade clauses. Lindor's going to be 10-5 guy at the end of the next year. Lindor, you're stuck with. You're stuck with. Unless, you know, and you heard a little bit from him over the, you know, last week in Cleveland, you know, I miss winning. Well, you know, you're kind of reason why winning isn't quite what you thought it would be here in New York. So I really don't want to hear that. But the messaging from both of these guys is important because I think their intent is good. They're not trying to lie to you. I think it was awful how they messaged last deadline. Simple. We had two Hall of Fame aging, breaking down pitchers. We don't think that they could perform at the level that they used to. And we could probably, look, what you're getting out of Severino is probably better than what you would have got out of Scherzer. Scherzer is not a Hall of Fame player anymore. And I think Verlander had a little bit more left, but I don't know how much left. And you're saying to yourself, why keep him around here if I could get something for him? You know, this reboot versus retool versus tear it down. I mean, I'm looking at Verlander's stats. He's a 106 ERA plus. You know, he's slightly above league average. His FIP is 4.85. You know, he's not the same pitcher anymore. He declined. We knew that was going to happen once you hit 40. You were hoping you were going to get the last 1 to 2 years of greatness out of him. Post Tommy John. The Astros sucked the last bit of life out of him in 2022. I mean, so the messaging there was bad. The messaging has to be better. And Stearns has been transparently, I think he's been engaging. I think he's been, you know, I don't think he's been arrogant to the fan base. But now is the time. You can't lie to this fan base. You can't do it. They're too smart. It's going to hurt your brand. And I understand if you do this tactic and you rip apart pieces of this core, especially a popular guy like Alonso, who then goes somewhere else and starts turning into 2022 Alonso, hitting the ball over the yard, and then he's having postseason moments where he's hitting home runs. And then 5 years from now, he's hitting, you know, he's chasing 400 home runs with somebody else. And you're like, I just wish that could have been, you know, what us. Sometimes trading away pieces, you know, to move forward is okay. I'd love Alonso to be part of the solution going forward. But that contract he turned down was about, $158 million contract. That's kind of what I see right now at his point in his career, what he's worth. He's not a $30 million a year player. I knew he'd want it. I think he might get it. I mean, I could see a team like Chicago giving it to him. Who knows? You know, if Soto doesn't resign with the Yankees, you know, with Rizzo, and I don't know. I mean, the Yankees, you know, they've already talked about payroll constraints. Who knows what happens? Who knows? You know, there's also, you know, maybe, the Nats. You know, you just don't know what team steps up and says, you know, this 40 home run guy, even if he's a 120 OPS plus guy, fits what we want. He's the best option on the market. I mean, free agency's getting harder and harder. And this is going to be painful. And you're going to, and there's tons of regret and anger. It's like, why? You know, they have these guys. Why can't Lindor and McNeil? You know, if Lindor was Lindor from 22 and McNeil was 2022 McNeil and Pete's 2022 McNeil and Nimmo's 2022 McNeil and Diaz is some version between 21 and 22 because 2022 was probably so crazy that you couldn't expect that every year. But, you know, Hader did it for a while. Then, you know, we're not talking about this. The record's probably flipped around and they're probably in a wild card spot right now, but they're not. And you have to be honest. And I don't think it's good for Cohen and Stearns if they do a sell-off to do another, well, it's like a little reboot, it's a little this, a little that. Just be honest. Like, look, we want to do what's right for this franchise. I'm not trying to be cheap. I'm not trying to save money. But I also know what I'm faced with. And what I'm faced with is I need this farm system to catch up with the big league roster. It needs more time. My guy just came in. I got a new farm director. I've brought stability here. Give them a couple of years. Give them 24 months. Let's see where we are the winter of 25 into 26. We're going to sign some guys. We're going to try to make it fun at Citi Field. Who knows? Maybe we pop in and win 85 games and make it to a wild card. But I can't promise that's going to happen. I'm going to try. I know you don't want to send that message to the clubhouse. I know that it'll be a sign that they're not competing. I understand what they're trying to do. But they have to be honest, especially if they sell off. You can't do that now. You have to ride the course with this club. Like I said, you know, the optimistic Mets fan, the alter ego, you're going to try, I know, deep down, even though you really are having a time, they're going to keep pulling you in. Every time a Narvaez walk-off happens or a Nimmo walk-off happens or they have a good game and Diaz, you know, actually shows you that he's Diaz from, you know, another year, you're going to say, they could do this. But I just don't know if it's going to consistently happen. And I don't want you to get your emotions too high or too low, because I know you got that burst of energy yesterday with Narvaez. I know you did. I got it a little bit too. So we'll see. To me, sit back. You have still a couple of fun things for us to talk about here for the rest of the year. You have the Strawberry retirement. You have the London series. And then look, one way or the other, the trade deadline is going to be fascinating. One way or the other. Really will be. So, before I wrap up, I want to say thank you to a couple of fans here. One fan. So I don't know how to say this, but it was an email that came through on Apple Podcast, gave me a 5-star rating, which I appreciate, which, by the way, if you haven't given me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast, what are you waiting for? Help support the show. Let people know this is a good product. I hear about it all the time, and sometimes other people need a little kick in the you-know-what, but his handle, and this is from early May, his handle is CyOPhilE2, T-O-O. And he said he tried to email, he didn't go through. So, Cy Phil, that's what I'll call you. It's Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. Just leave the G off. Maybe you put no G, Talking Mets Podcast, no G. It's Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. Don't have the G. Like, just don't write. Maybe I should have been more clear on that. But he's 66 years old, not a sports fan, loves baseball. He's a loyal listener to the show since the Doc Gooden retirement show with our friend Mark Roseman from Connor's Corner, which is really cool to hear. Doc was so exceptional that he lured his mom back into baseball after 30 years of ignoring it. She had been a Dodgers fan. You guys have probably heard this story. And then his mom got him interested in baseball and told him the basics of the game. And they did it while they were watching Doc. And he appreciated the podcast about the ceremony and about how much better it is than the shows. And there's some other good podcasts, so I'm not going to sit here and beat my own drum. And I really appreciate the kind words. And he hates football. So, you know, Cy Phil, sorry. You know, and if you want to email me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com, just don't put a G. Just put Talking.com. Talking Mets. Talking Mets Podcast. Talking with no G. If you want to make it easier, sometimes I give it my msilva126 at gmail.com. You could do that. If you want to throw me a Gmail, just don't put me on any spam list. I've been put on spam lists before by people who get mad about me. So this is a really kind email. It's why I do this. Yeah, I know you hear the ads, and you know I try to make a few bucks to cover the cost of doing this. And right now, with the way things are so expensive, you just have to if you're going to do a passion project and not do this full-time, which I have no intention of doing this full-time, with the kind of money that's out there. But I really appreciate the email. I appreciate the kind words. I appreciate the 5 stars. And I'm glad that this show, in its own small way, brought back a good memory to you with your family. And Doc did that. And hopefully we'll have a great show with Daryl. I'm thinking about that. With Daryl's number retired, I watched the Daryl special on SNY this past weekend. I thought it was well done. There's part of me, and I know Carter's still out there, that thinks that it's time to put 86 in the closet. But that's a conversation for another show. And, you know, ultimately, what I always hope to do with this program is to entertain, inform, and have some fun and make you put this on and walk away feeling, you know, maybe not great. I'm sure there's a lot of things I talked about today that didn't make you feel great about the Mets, but make you feel like you did as a kid when you were, you know, watching baseball. You know, and enjoying baseball. And in a lot of ways, like I said, there's those two versions of us as a fan. There's the data-driven fan that has all this information that now knows how hard it is to win. And then there's the optimistic fan that hopes and dreams. Really the fan that most of us, if not all of us, depending on your age and what generation you grew up in, that's the fan you grew up being. Like in 1992, the worst team any can buy, that team was 500. Around July, I was still hopeful that they were going to make a run. That's pre-wild card, when they just got to win a division. Now, if you had advanced analytics around at that time, it was probably very likely that we would be having a conversation, say, hey, this isn't going to happen, this. So a lot of information that we have at our fingertips now makes this much harder to enjoy the sport, and I hope that I did that. So thank you so much for that comment on Apple. It is appreciated. Again, anybody who wants to leave a 5-star review, sign up for the newsletter. I think there's a really cool Substack promotion going on, 20% off for a year. You know, I try to give you something to think about during the week, 2 to 3 articles. It's been about, you know, I don't want to just throw stuff out there. I like to throw quality. Like when it comes down to it, I don't want to just be a content creator to just throw stuff at you. I want it to be good. I want it to be well thought out. I want it to be somewhat researched. I want it to be well written. These are things that take time, and I think we've gotten away from them in today's media environment. I'm trying to make sure I don't fall into that, because I've fallen into that in my time doing this over the last 20 years. So anyway, hope everybody has a good Memorial Day. Enjoy some Mets baseball. The last stand, the messaging. We've set ourselves up. We know what this Mets team is now. We know it's a Mets team that has everything but the engine. The engine is bad. The core is bad. The core players are not performing. How crazy is this? The rest of the car is not too bad. The rest of the car has some good bones. And I don't know if the core is fixable. And if it's not, and likely it's not, it's time to look for a new engine and make the painful step back. Now, talk to me in 2 weeks, and maybe the attitude after the London series is a little bit different. But part of me thinks it's not. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in for another edition of the Talking Mets Podcast. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at Talking Mets No G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silvat, TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, Mike Silvat, TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, Talking Mets No G. And don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And of course, I want to thank the good folks from the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I am yours, Mike Silva. Enjoy your Memorial Day. We'll be back with another Talking Mets Podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody. For the